Well, it's a pleasure and a privilege for me to be here this afternoon for Kevin's ordination. I've known Kevin ever since he came to the Bay Area over a decade ago, and he first started attending Redeemer. And I can say that when he first came to Redeemer, he had all the hallmarks of immaturity. And by all appearances, I thought he was going to be a permanent adolescent. Young and single, he lived like he was on Hawaii time. He was always really into his cars and seemed to always complain about his job. And while some of those things might have stayed the same, I've also seen how much he's grown, and I've heard from afar, witnessed from afar, how he has grown. And he met Cassandra, first of all, and that has helped a lot. He's a father of two. He's been faithful in the church. He loves the church. He has grown in humility and in faithfulness. And now he's being called to be an elder here at Pillar Baptist. And Kevin, part of your calling is not only for you to continue in maturity, it is for you to be an agent of the maturity of this church here at Pillar. And that is the main idea of the text that's going to be before us this afternoon in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Because these verses show us what it means to be a growing and a mature church. Sadly, in our day and age, many churches simply refuse to grow up. It's not that churches plan to remain immature. If you look online, there are endless books about church growth. Rather, it is that churches simply are turning to inadequate and imperfect definitions of what it means to be a grown-up church. But the answers for that are right here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. So if you turn there in your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And let me just read that for us this afternoon. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Well, may God bless the reading of his word, because here in chapter 4 of Ephesians is when Paul begins to speak to the church about the conduct of the church. Earlier parts of Ephesians, in chapters 1 through 3, he's been spending a lot of time in theology and preparing the way for the calling of the church, and now he's talking about the conduct of the church, and specifically verses 11 through 16, Paul shows God's intention for the church to grow into maturity. Look at the types of phrases that Paul uses in these verses. Verse 12, building up the body of Christ. Verse 13, mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we would no longer be like children. Verse 15, we are to grow up in every way. Verse 16, the body is to grow so that it builds itself up in love. So what Paul is doing is he's using architectural and biological language to speak of the developing and maturing church. And Paul paints for us four portraits of the mature Christian church. And these are four portraits that you, Kevin, are to take heed of as you bear this mantle of an elder. First, a mature church is known for its doctrine. Look at the beginning of verse 11. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers to the church, and the purpose for them is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry with the goal of building up the body of Christ. to mature manhood. The passage opens with God sovereignly distributing gifts to the church for its maturity. Specifically, he gives not gifts, but he gives people, and he mentions apostles and prophets, authoritative recipients for the foundation of the church. And then Paul mentions evangelists. Then there are shepherds, where we get our word pastor. These are the ones that care for the church, manage it, love it, speak to it. Then there are teachers, those who faithfully transmit God's word. Of all the gifted men that Paul could mention for the building up and maturation of the church, why is he mentioning these titles? Why does he mention all of these things? Because all five gifts relate in some way to the ministry of the word. All five gifts relate to teaching. All five gifts relate to doctrine. And so later in life, when Paul is jailed, he writes a final letter to his son in the faith, Timothy. And there are many things that Paul could have said when he came to the end of his life there in 2 Timothy. Paul could have instructed Timothy on a number of things. Maybe with his dying breath, he could have told Timothy, you need to make sure that you organize small groups really well. You need to make sure you have the right facilities. You need to make sure that you have the right demographic mix in the church. But his charge to Timothy is to preach the word. Preach the word in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. That's the charge to Timothy, to preach, because that is the only way that the church will grow in maturity. There must continually be the teaching of sound doctrine, and without well-taught saints, there is no way in which the body of Christ can be built up. We see the importance of this in verse 13. Notice that the church is to attain a unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. In light of this context, that unity of the faith is not just actively believing. The context of instruction and false teaching, what is meant here is the objective content. It is a unity over doctrine and theology and a set of beliefs. So Pillar Baptist, if you want to see your church built up and mature and united, you pray for the teaching gifts of the church. You pray for Kevin to have opportunities to grow in this area. And that's not what many church blogs will say these days. What we're told is that if you want to build up your church, you have to have the right programs. You have to play the right music. You have to serve better food. But in the New Testament, if you want the church to mature, you pray for the particular blessing of God for the teaching of God's word. Now, Kevin, you and I, we spent a little bit of time talking about this here at Pillar and how Pillar has essentially an embarrassment of riches when it comes to good teachers and preachers. You may not have the same amount of opportunities to teach and preach, but take every opportunity you're given. Model for the church an appetite for the Word of God and pray that Pillar would be fed and transformed by the Word, whether it's being taught in small group or midweek or family group or on Sundays. Second, a mature church is known not only by its doctrine, but its discernment. If you look at verse 14, it says, we mature to the fullness of Christ so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Here Paul gives us a vivid picture of the immature church. They're like tiny little boats out at sea, entirely at the mercy of winds and waves. Every cunning and deceitful and false doctrine will come. And when it does, it blows a vulnerable, exposed, and infantile church this way and that way when they're not moored with training and maturity in the things of God. Many of you know what children are like. They don't know what's good and what's bad. They don't have what we would say is discernment. When my children were young, they stuck everything that they found into their mouths. So it could be hair, Legos, crayons. Because children don't make distinctions. Right now, if you were to ask my youngest daughter what she wants for dinner, and you actually gave it to her, she would be dead in a few years. She would tell you, "Uncle, Auntie, give me ice cream, donuts, and her favorite, ketchup." And we know that what she needs is she needs vegetables and she needs protein, but it's because she can't discern. And so many churches get pulled into this trend or that trend because they lack discernment. They're blown this way and that way. Churches are like a cork at sea because every year, one year they want to be more radical. And next year they want to be more into social justice. And then the following year they want to be more into ministering to Gen Z. Everywhere you turn, discernment is being tested. And it happens when you hop on social media, when you read the news, when you listen to a podcast. But a mature church is known for its stability. For its stability. A mature church is there. A mature church is known by its pastors who shepherd the flock and have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies and will lead the church into discernment. A mature church is also known by its declaration. So we've seen doctrine, discernment, and now declaration. Verse 15, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ." This is a standard by which a church grows into Christ. It is that its people are people who speak truth in love. Speaking the truth in love is how a church demonstrates its maturity. Now, speaking the truth in love doesn't mean tell it like it is and just be really nice about it. In the context, this speaking the truth here in verse 15 must mean speaking truth about God and about Christ and about the gospel. In other words, it means speaking biblical truth, spiritual truth, truth as God sees it. There are many churches out there that simply don't care to say anything. They shy away from biblical truths in Scripture. Whether that means gender roles or sexuality, hell, the wrath of God, or anything else deemed unsavory, they keep their traps shut. Or if they do say anything, it's so convoluted, it's very unclear what they're saying. And so, Kevin, you have a charge in those moments. People will come to you and they'll want to know, "I heard this. This came up on my Twitter feed or my X feed." And at that moment, you will need to speak the truth in love. I know that you're an intentional person. And the call is not for you to be as offensive and as pugnacious as possible. But there will be moments you will have to do the hard thing for the sake of doctrine and discernment and the maturity of the church. You must speak the truth in love. Lastly, a mature church is known for its devotion. Doctrine, discernment, declaration, and devotion. What do I mean by devotion? Well, it is a love and service for one another. You notice that the church is not portrayed like a pyramid. It doesn't portray the church with the elders and the leaders and the teachers all up on top and everyone else is out on the bottom. Rather, the church is a body where everybody has its distinctive functions. And everyone in the church must be active in love to serve one another. Look again at verse 12. These shepherds and teachers, these pastors, these elders are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, that together we may attain the unity of the faith. Verse 16, as a whole body we are joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, so that when each part is working properly, the body grows and builds itself up in love. For you, Kevin, the primary work that you have as a shepherd is to faithfully equip Pillar Baptist. It's not going to require a seminary degree. That doesn't require years of preaching under your belt, even. This is about you faithfully serving by the strength that God supplies, and He will supply it. That you may equip the church for the work of the ministry, that they may grow up to be doctrinal and discerning and declarative and devoted to the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, on this day in which we think about elders and we think about shepherds, we think about the body, and we think about the church. We pray for Kevin, and in your calling for him, that he would shepherd the flock of God, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly. We pray for you to give Cassandra wisdom as she comes alongside and helps. We pray for the church. We pray for Pillar Baptist to be a place that would honor him. Honor him in love for his valuable work. Submit to him as God's appointed guide. Imitate his godly life and faith and joy. And that this church would be in constant prayer for him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.